Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Just imagine for a minute that you're one of those man-on-the-street reporters who goes around asking random people questions. What kind of answers do you think you'd get if you asked them, what is a Christian? You'd probably get some pretty negative answers, I would guess. People who'd say something like, Christians are basically hypocrites. They're not any better than anybody else, they just pretend they are. They might say, Christians are those people who go around condemning everybody they don't like. Or they might say, Christians are those weirdo fanatics who are always trying to shove their beliefs down everybody's throats. And then you'd probably get a few people, quite a few people maybe, who would define Christians by what they don't do, right? A Christian is somebody who doesn't use any bad language, or somebody who doesn't drink or smoke or gamble, or who doesn't watch R-rated movies, or who doesn't go to wild parties, that kind of thing. In other words, a Christian is just a regular old person with all the naughty parts left out, or a Christian is just a regular person who doesn't have any fun. Hopefully you get some people who had a little more positive idea of what a Christian is. You might possibly find a person who says a Christian is somebody who is kind and unselfish and generous, a person who gives to the poor and forgives the people that hurt them, a person who tells the truth, a person who would never cheat on their spouse. It would be kind of nice if you would get that answer, and that was the impression that some people had of us. But the truth is, for those of us who know such things from the inside, the truth is that if we want to describe a Christian, just the average Joe Christian, we'd have to say, first of all, that a Christian is somebody who is impossibly broken, and whose wisdom and intelligence and morality and cleverness and strength and determination all put together are not enough to fix us. Christians, then, in the first place, are people who, in and of themselves, don't have a whole lot going for them. Paul put it just a bit more harshly in the reading from Ephesians that Carol just read this morning when he wrote, "You were dead," which pretty much makes us exactly the same as the rest of humanity, because the truth is, to be a human being is to live our lives quite literally on death row. Every one of us people is subject to decay and pain and loss from the moment of our birth. And in the end, every single one of us is doomed to die. Mankind has found ways over the millennia to make our death sentence more tolerable. We were created in the image of God. People have so many gifts of creativity and intelligence and the ability to reach out and communicate. And so the world is full of the glories of man, art, philosophy, and science, civilizations. But every glorious work of man is subject to the same frustration and futility as this frail body. In the end, there's no human effort, there's no human excellence that can stop that relentless march of corruption and death. In the end, all the light of human glory will go dark. In the end, we cannot fix ourselves. This morning, we read together a couple little snippets from Psalm 107, which is a long psalm written by King David. I've always loved Psalm 107 because it tells stories. It tells the stories of plain old people, like you and me, who find themselves at the utter end of their resources with nothing left except to cry out in desperation. And it tells how God, in his mercy, in his faithfulness, answers their cry. In the course of the psalm, David describes four different human journeys. You might recognize yourself in one of them, and you might possibly recognize yourself in all of them at one time or another. There's the story of people whose road is hard and long and weary, who find themselves lost and hungry, and finally, in their desperation, they cry to the Lord, David says, and he delivers them from their distress. He sets their feet on a firm path. He satisfies their hunger. And there's the story of stubborn people who choose deliberately to rebel against God, who set their faces to the darkness and despise wisdom and the light. They find themselves in deep trouble and misery, alone and friendless, until finally they call for help. They cry to the Lord in their trouble, David says, and he delivers them from their distress. He breaks the chains they forged for themselves. He leads them up out of the gloom into the light. And then there's the story of people who can most kindly be described as stupid. People who go off on their own and get themselves in a lot of trouble on account of their foolishness until they end up in utter despair. And then, foolish though they are, they cry to the Lord in their trouble, David says, and he delivers them from their distress. He heals their hurts. He snatches their lives right out of the grave. And then there is the story of those who go out into life with courage and with purpose, but even they find themselves overwhelmed at last by dangers and perils that are far too great for them. They cry to the Lord in their dismay and in their helplessness, David says, and he delivers them from their distress. He quiets the raging storms. He brings them safely home. Christians are just people. We get weary and sad and overwhelmed. We are wicked and rebellious. We are stupid and stubborn. We are courageous and hardworking and determined. We are God's excellent handiwork, corrupted and broken by sin and shadowed by death, just the same as all of humankind. As Paul writes, we were basically dead, children of wrath by our very nature, just like everybody else. Christians are people who cry out for light from the deepest darkness. We are people with no other hope, with no one else to turn to. People who can say, as Peter said to Jesus, where else can we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Jesus pointed to that image of the bronze serpent to tell people who he was and to tell people what his purpose was in coming to live among us. when the people of Israel reached that point of desperation where they finally remembered who they could trust, they cried out for help, and God delivered them from their distress. If anyone was bit by a serpent, all they had to do was look up to the serpent and be healed. It's really important to notice that it was the bronze serpent and not the fiery snakes that were the symbol of Jesus. John tells us God didn't send the Son into the world to condemn it. He sent his Son so that we can live abundantly. Christians and non-Christians alike, we human creatures are all slaves to our own foolishness. We all find ourselves hiding in the darkness, overwhelmed by the covering of death that lies over all of mankind. From time to time, we all get stuck in prisons and traps of our own making. Right? We do. We all stagger under the burdens of regret and sickness, of our fear of growing old and the terror of our impending death. A Christian is not a person who is better or smarter or stronger or less sinful than everybody around them. A Christian is not necessarily even a person who is happier than everyone all around them. A Christian is just somebody who, out of sheer desperation, has looked to the cross and finds life and health and hope and joy. The one and only thing that makes a Christian special is Christ himself. Paul wrote this: God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. We Christians are hypocrites and rebels, we are fools and fanatics. Everything that people might have said about us to our imaginary reporter on the street is true. That's us. That's the church of Christ Jesus. But the one we follow is able to heal and to restore us. He is able to make us fully alive. And not only us, but every one of the billions of men and women and children that he fashioned with his own hand, that he created in love for something so much better than death and corruption. We were all, every one of us, under sentence of death. But the Son of God heard our cry, and he came not to judge, not to condemn us, but to rescue us. And everyone who looks to the cross of Christ will find real life. Martin Luther, way back in the time of the Reformation, wrote this: Moses commanded the Israelites, who were stung by serpents in the desert, to do nothing else but behold it steadfastly and not to turn away their eyes. So if I would find comfort and life when I am at the point of death, I must do nothing else but apprehend Christ and look at him and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who suffered, was crucified, and died for me, in whose wounds and in whose death I see my sin, and in his resurrection victory over sin, death, and the devil, also righteousness and eternal life. Besides him, I see nothing, I hear nothing. Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.